Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland, and we're going to spend some time talking with Gary Gillette. He's the founder of the Hunting Film Tour, and this is a tour that's in its third year, and it is an exhibition of hunting films that celebrates the conservation side of hunting. And Gary Gillette, thanks so much for taking time and coming on Dakota Midday today.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
So explain to me the Hunting Film Tour. What is it?
You bet. Yeah, no, the hunting space has typically been, represented in the media space by magazines and outdoor television. You know, there's some primary networks in Canada and the U.S., and, you know, we put a little bit different spin on it. We recognize this digital revolution. There's some really talented filmmakers out there. They're not falling into the mold of the typical 13-episode outdoor television sort of formula. And what they've done is they're out producing some really high-end content with really good cinematography, great editing. But they're really focused on just one piece a year, and it's, you know, a lot of it has really great stories and great conservation messages. So what the film tour is it's just it's a film festival that basically wraps up sort of 10 to 12 of these films into a showreel, and then we promote events through local theaters in various markets across North America, and we've actually just got some traction in Europe and Australia as well.
Now, you say 10 to 12 films. About how long is each film?
You know, they vary in length. It's what we're seeing is people can share a very compelling and strong story in anywhere from, you know, 5 to 8 minutes. Probably the longest film that we featured is, I think, 15 to sort of that 18-minute range. But it's very rare that, you know, the showreel itself is about 2 hours long. It's broken into two halves. And the whole objective is sort of an evening out experience where, families, kids, people of all, you know, sort of generations can come out, females, male, and enjoy an evening out. There's an intermission between the first and second half on the showreel. It's an MC'd show where my crew goes and manages the show on site, and it's supported by lots of cool prizes and stuff and sweepstakes that we draw at intermission and give out lots of prizes and stuff. And there's a bit of a social in between the showreel halves. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Now, you use this, though, as you allow conservation groups like Pheasants Forever, Ducks Unlimited, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation to use this as a fundraiser. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. So there's kind of a two-tiered approach to our tour. There's shows where we're booking about 50 shows across North America where we book the venue. My crews promote it and go on the road and host the shows at those events. Some of our national partners or sponsors join us. Some, you know, Boone and Crockett Club, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, Ducks Unlimited are on board with us at a national level. But we also have a pillar within our tour where people can license the showreel from us for a modest fee, and they can stage their own event because we just can't be everywhere at once. And what, example, the South Dakota Wildlife Federation, Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, there's different groups like that that have kind of latched onto the film tour to use it as a fundraising pillar within their conservation initiative. So, you know, it can be used in conjunction with that traditional banquet model. So it's another event that they can hold through the year and create a fun sort of fundraising tool.
Talk a little bit about the film and perhaps promoting ethical hunting.
You know, there's a lot of, you know, I think we're all seeing it in the media today, and it's getting attacked from a variety of angles. Mm-hmm. You know, the most recent, obviously, Cease of the Lion. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of misinformation out there. And, you know, what the common perception is sort of that bubble mentality of, you know, guys driving around a pickup truck and shooting stuff out the window and drinking beer. And what's really interesting is the majority of the millions and millions of people that participate in hunting, that's not what it means to them. That's not how they conduct themselves. And really underlying the activity itself, a really interesting story that's being told is hunting is conservation. And hunting, the roots of conservation and the model of wildlife management that's employed in North America today, which is the standard for the rest of the developing world to model and try and duplicate, it's led to all of the real great resource and resource allocation in that public model that we enjoy today as North Americans. And it's all founded in hunting. It's founded in the roots of hunting organizations, sportsmen and women that put up their hard-earned dollars and membership dues and fees and all of the taxes and things that are associated with the way the whole sort of political paradigm is structured. That's how the system is funded. It's through hunting. It's not from anti-hunting groups. And that's what's being missed in, you know, as we evolve and people sort of, you know, have their roots in cities and they're exposed to these things. There's a lot of misinformation and misunderstanding. So that's a big part of the story that's being told.
And as far as conservation, the numbers used are all based on science?
That's right. Yeah, no, that's exactly right. The method of, you know, it's a very in-depth discussion, but the model of North American conservation is science-based. You're hitting the nail right on the head with that. And they're, you know, government-employed biologists in the variety of capacities, and they're supported by a lot of private, public conservation groups and their initiatives and funding, additional funding that's put into the kitty to try and study and understand the various habitats and species and all of the things that we manage on a day-to-day basis in our world, in that natural world.
Now, you say that the idea is to showcase quality filmmaking about hunting to dispel myths around hunting. And in what way do these films that you're showcasing do that? Give me some specifics.
Some specific examples. Mm-hmm. Probably one of the most popular films we've had, for example, is a guy by the name of Tyler Johnerson. He resides in Montana. He has dedicated his life to running hounds. It's a common practice, but it's a bit of a dying art. But it's a very unique talent and skill set to build up a pack of hound dogs to chase mountain lions. And it's through that activity that allows us, for example, he works real closely with, you know, various government agencies and stuff, mm-hmm. to run cats, and they do scientific research on those cats. I know people in Alberta that do the same thing up here. There's guys that do it in British Columbia. And it's hunting that's driving that activity, but those skill sets are really the underlying expertise required to chase and understand a very elusive critter. And, you know, putting collars on them and working closely with all these government agencies to manage that cat population, because cats, you know, the reality is as the human population grows, we like to live in beautiful areas on fringe habitat that border the most pristine mountain habitats and foothill habitats. But the reality is, as we push out into that habitat, that's prime wildlife habitat. And when you see deer and elk living on people's front lawns in small towns in those areas, those are a food source for cats, for example. So now you start having human-cat interactions or human-bear interactions. And all of those things have to be managed. They don't manage themselves. You know, a lot of the anti-hunting groups or, you know, different messages you see on TV is, you know, if we just leave it up to the balance of nature, that's a farce. It's not reality in a world that we live in. So they have to be managed intelligently with sound scientific information.
Okay, and one way to do that, as you said, the hounds, I mean, they do put collars on, and the way to understand your population is to understand the characteristics
exactly.
of the animal.
The population dynamics, their mm-hmm. movement patterns, their habitat preferences mm-hmm. throughout the year, all that stuff. So, you know, that's just one example of how something related to hunting is showcased. You know, his film, although it's about cat hunting, it's a much deeper film, and it shows a lot of really cool interaction with cougars and cats that you would never, ever have the opportunity to interact with.
And what does someone do if they want to produce a film for this tour? Is that possible to submit one?
It absolutely is. Last year I probably had somewhere around 43, 44 submissions, and we choose somewhere around 8 to 10 films. It's open. I try and champion the underdog, to be honest. I get everything from professional television producers to the average young guy that's just coming out of college. And, you know, you don't have to be a professional in the space to create and tell a really great story. And some of that material comes from sources that are, you know, that unsung hero that people have never heard of. So there's a lot of really interesting things happening and very accomplished people out there that just do it very quietly. And this gives them sort of a fun, legitimate platform that they can showcase their talent or their story and just have some fun with it.
Now, the Hunting Film Tour is making three stops in South Dakota, tonight in Sioux Falls, and mm-hmm. September 17th in Pierre, October 14th in Rapid City. And how does having three shows in South Dakota, how does that speak to your tour over the last 3 years?
You know, we've had we've really enjoyed some great growth. I obviously have some contractual deliverables to all of the companies and organizations that are supporting the tour, and we're exceeding those expectations every year. It's been, you know, a prime example is the South Dakota Wildlife Federation that is hosting those shows on our behalf in that state. The first year we worked with the tour is only in year three, and the first year we worked with them, they did one show, and they had a great success, and the word spread throughout the chapters amongst the state, and you know, that's grown to three shows, and I had the same experience with Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. They started with one show, and now they're doing, I think, 7 or 10 shows this year. So there's an appetite out there for this type of quality content. People are kind of tired. The outdoor television space is very saturated, and some of it is very poorly produced. So people are enjoying getting back to that grassroots sort of feel and really strong story-driven content that necessarily isn't just about hunting, but it's about the experience of it.
Okay. And can people just walk in tonight, Thursday night?
Yeah, for sure. You can pre-buy tickets, you know, online on our website, or you can just show up at the door and get tickets at the door as well.
Okay. I want to thank you, Gary, for taking time and coming on Dakota Midday today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it, too.
Gary Gillette, the founder of the Hunting Film Tour. Again, the Hunting Film Tour makes three stops in South Dakota tonight in Sioux Falls, September 17th in Pierre, and October 14th in Rapid City.